Hello and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Neil Butterson.
And you might have noticed that Neil isn't Steve, and Steve isn't here today because we've gone camping, haven't we?
We are. We're camping outside Leyburn in the beautiful, is it North Yorkshire?
North Yorkshire, yeah. So if you hear birds and things in the background, and us, you know, occasionally sipping on a cold beverage, that is why, because we're actually out in the great outdoors, and very nice it is too.
And in nature, and in front of us, we've just got fields and fields and fields and dry stone walls. It's proper, you know, where you want to be with your Land Rover.
Absolutely. Yeah, so good to get out, and it's important to do this stuff, as well as, obviously, we talk a lot about fettling and doing projects and things like that at home, but, you know, most of the fun is out in the great outdoors, getting fresh air and enjoying, you know, having a good laugh with people and enjoying a cold beer of an evening.
That's it, yeah. And we've driven up through, well, when we left Cambridgeshire, it was lashing down rain. Now we're up here, you know, everybody says, oh, it's grim up north, or some people do, normally people who live up here. But, you know, it's a beautiful evening. We've got, you know, clouds just dispersing. We've got blue sky through it. The birds are singing in the trees. Roads are a distance away. It's just lovely. And tomorrow we're going green laning.
And we've got not one, but two Freelander 2s to look at. We've got obviously my grey one, which I thought when we organised this trip, I thought to myself, I might take the Series 3. Then I thought, the Freelander 2 is just, obviously, it's what I use every day to get about and do, you know, commute in and whatever else. I thought, do you know what? I'm going to give that its time in the limelight. We'll take that green laning. So it's obviously standard, apart from it's got a set of BF Goodrich trail terrains on it, which is a rugged, no it's not, it's a, what do they call it, it's the one that isn't an all-terrain, it's a mild all-terrain,
mild terrain, is it?
Mild terrain,
yeah.
Which of course you'll learn a lot more about in the next issue when we have a massive wheel and tire guide. But yeah, so we'll see how it does. But the guy, there's another guy on the campsite who's got a really nice black facelift 14 plate, so I might see if he's up for a trade-in.
Or we'll just steal it over. No, we can't steal.
Keyless bit. Anyway, I get into that. Probably not a topic of conversation. But we thought, you know, we'll take this opportunity. We've just had dinner. We've wandered back to the campsite. There's still plenty of daylight. We'll do a quick podcast.
That's it. Why not?
Exactly. So we're here, actually. We're going to go green laning tomorrow.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about the route you've planned.
What I found over the many years I've been doing this is, I found that, like, if you create a route which is about 50 miles long, that's generally about sort of the distance you really want to be doing. Now, the one I've planned for tomorrow, I don't think we've had it in the mag before, any of the mags. Some of them will be familiar, like we're going to be driving up Fremington Edge above Reith, which is a fantastic lane.
A magnificent view.
It's one of those lanes. I mean, I'm not even going to say the word because I hate it so much. But you know, it's one of these lanes where you just drive up there and you think, this is what it's all about. You know, it's a bit rugged, it's a bit rocky. You know, my concern with you bringing the Freelander is that you might end up with a little bit of scratches on the alloys, I'm afraid.
I'm not worried about that.
So, we'll do that. Then we've got the drop down, we've got a couple of fords, some nice, you know, it's basically open countryside up here. And we'll be kind of making some climbs, some descents and stuff like that. It generally, you know, it is really nice. We've used this area before to not test vehicles, but to explore what the vehicles can do, you know, what Land Rovers can do, because obviously newer vehicles, they are really, really competent.
Yeah.
But you need somewhere to find out, and unfortunately most people don't take them anywhere where they can find out what they can really do. But like up here, it's, you know, the green lanes, they're all road legal, or they are legal roads, the vehicles are road legal, we're road legal, and you know, we can just enjoy being outside.
Yeah, I was going to say, they, like you say, by themselves they're great, but as you form part of a larger route, that's when it really comes into its own with regards to testing newer stuff. Like we brought the Defender 130 up here when we had that on test, which you would have seen in the Land Rover Life pages of the mag.
I think you had it in as well.
I did, in fact. And we also did a YouTube video on it. So it's I don't think personally, I mean, I'll be careful, obviously, but I don't think we'll have too many issues with the wheels and tires on the Freelander. I'll be careful, clearly, but they're just brilliant lanes, aren't they? And from where we are, what was it? Well, we got stuck on the A1, but the drive up here was, what, 3 and a bit hours?
That's it, yeah. And, you know, we're not far from Scotch Corner. So it shows, you know, if you're in Scotland, it's not that far away from you. It's attainable. And, you know, it honestly, it's so quiet up here. You can hear the birds. Well, you can't hear the birds. You can hear a little bit of road noise, sheep bleating or barring in the background. And, like, we're doing this. It's actually on a weekday evening rather than a weekend, which means, unfortunately, that one of the places I was going to stop at for a cup of tea isn't actually open tomorrow. But it's... We're getting out and about, and we're going to be meeting Steve to do the Green Lane, aren't we?
We are indeed, yes. Yeah. Steve's going to be heading up tomorrow. He's busy today on part of his 90 project, which all will be revealed soon in the magazine and probably on the podcast.
I was going to ask about the 90 project because I believe it has to be asked again.
He's, yeah, it is a bit of a running thing. But he's been, without giving too much away, he's been with Phoenix Automotive today getting his rear tub. Sorry, Dan, she will no doubt tell us more about when he's back.
Yes.
But no, he will be meeting us tomorrow in his 90 with his camping trailer because he's staying up in the north over the weekend.
Is he bringing the trailer around with us?
I think he's dropping it off and then picking it back up again.
Oh, okay. But it'll still do it. It'll come around.
Yeah.
Has he got traction control on that one?
No, it's not traction control. Okay. We'll see how he goes because I dare say his penman would be okay.
I'm sure it would be, but... I haven't been green laning with a trailer for years.
We'll play it by ear. You'll see it in the magazine anyway, whether he does leave it somewhere or brings it out with us.
Yeah. No, that should be good.
So, yeah. So it'll be Freelander and Defender.
Yeah.
On the lanes. Yeah. So that'll be really, really good fun. I'm really looking forward to it. And what was I going to... this will be, possibly, breaking news, the last time the Freelander does anything interesting without a roof tent on top, because I've finally succumbed. And I'm going to try a roof tent out.
So you're getting a roof rack as well?
Roof rack, front runner roof rack, and a roof tent, which will be fitted in the next couple of weeks.
So, and what sort of roof tent are you going for?
A front runner as well.
Okay, so it's a soft shell, right?
So on the basis that it's a bit lighter than a hard shell, yeah. And it doesn't take up as much room on the roof. It's a bit easier to store when I haven't got it on, because I won't be running around with it on all the time. I'll fit it for when I know I'm going away or shows, things like that, where I'll obviously use it. But... at the moment, though, I'm in my cot tent, which I've had 10 years now.
Yeah.
Probably just a little bit more than 10 years, which has been a loyal companion. And yeah, I haven't owned another tent in the same time I've had it. And you're in your even quicker to set up tent.
Yeah, it's one of the 2-second tents, which, you know, it's not very Land Rover-y, but, you know, to be honest, when I'm out camping, I tend to arrive places. And I tend to forget to pitch my tent. So it's normally about 11 o'clock at night. It's dark. And I just get the thing out, throw it in the air. Wherever it lands, I take the view that if I'm in it, it's not going to blow away. So I just fall asleep in it and then get up the next morning, pack it away. Mm. Say, I should be in something more Land Rover-y, but, you know, it's just for the overnighter. That's what I use.
Yeah, for a single night. It's one of those where, certainly with the cot tent, if it works, why change it? And I think I've like I say, I want to get out and do more camping with my wife and the dog as well. So a roof tent does make sense for ease and, you know, a bit more space, because only I can get in the cot tent with a single bag. So on that front, I'm hoping it'll prove very versatile. But yeah, why? You don't have to spend a fortune to go out and go camping with your Land Rover. When we did Strata Florida in the Series 3 a couple of years ago, the rain was sideways when we got to the campsite, wasn't it?
And
I think we were probably in the same tents, weren't we?
Yeah. And I believe it's not going to be good tomorrow morning, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
By 4 o'clock, we'll be probably going, what did we say last night? We'll be floating away down the Wensleydale into Wensleydale.
The poor old Freeland is going to stink of wet tent all day, isn't it?
I think it will do, yeah. Your air conditioning is going to be working hard to absorb the moisture or remove the moisture from that.
Yeah, so, we'll see how we go. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's not the end of the world, is it? Get home, put the tent up when it's dry and sorts itself out.
That's it. That's what, you know, it's what it's all about.
It's
been
quite nice because when we go away, when I do a show over 2 nights or whatever, you always think of like every eventuality and you end up taking things like barbecue if you're cooking for other people and loads of kit. I've literally got a sleeping bag, a roll mat and a tent tonight,
That's pretty much all I've got in mind. Obviously, we've got things like video gear in case we get a chance to do video. If it's not lashing down, no, I think the weather's, after the initial overnight, it's meant to be okay tomorrow. So I'm hoping we'll get some lovely photographs and some good video as well.
You always pray that the sunshine anyway.
I do, yeah. Wherever I go, it's always sunny.
It will turn up at some point, I'm sure.
That's it, yeah.
But I thought, who better to sit down and chat about green laning with than the man who's written countless features on it, and you've driven a lot of the green lanes in the UK.
I have, yeah. I've driven, you know, I like to think that I've driven many, well, I'd say that I'm probably in the top 5% of distances driven on green lanes. I know there are some people now starting to catch up, like Simon Cox, he goes out almost every weekend now, or he seems to, and then in tugboat, and then comes back with a little bit more to fix on it sometimes.
Yeah, like, Simon's got lovely D2, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. And so he's out there doing that. But I mean, this year I do feel like I've squandered this year a bit, because it's been so dry for the last few months, and I've only done, you know, 20 or 30 green lanes this year so far, and you know, it's been so dry, and now it's getting a bit damper. I feel maybe I should have used the time better, but
it's like having ketchup in your eyes, isn't it? Hindsight is 2020.
Yes, indeed. But yeah, I mean, like, going out in green laning, you know, the best time is when it is dry, when you've got the scenery, when you've got when the lanes are dry, because you can go out. There's one which, on the way to the LRM Live at Malvern, I decided to take in a couple of green lanes just to have a look at it. And some of them had been driven, you know, in the winter when they were too soft. It's very soft lanes down there, and they'd left massive ruts. And I was in my 2A, it's bone dry, and it, you know, I was bouncing around. You know, I just think, well, if they'd sort of held off driving it through the winter, they'd be better now.
Yeah.
Because you don't, you know, pay and play sites are open over the winter. In fact, many pay and play sites close during the summer because there's not a demand.
Yeah.
Because people are out on the green lanes. But equally, in the winter, stay off the green lanes if they're too soft, and go to the pay and play sites. Learn what your vehicle could do. Go trialing.
100%, yeah.
Compete in the vehicles. And you know, we've got... you know, for now, I mean, ultimately, where we're doing the green lane tomorrow is, it's going to be nice and it's all weather lanes, so
base they're lane,
yeah, so you can drive them all year round. But you know what I'm saying about the rain?
Yeah, I'm just ignoring it at the moment. It's going to blow over for the listeners. It is starting to spit. So
yeah,
we've got a lovely view in front of us. We're sat on some very cool little nifty chairs, which I've never seen before. They're like a camping chair, but they don't have legs. So you're sat on the ground, but your back is supported. They're actually pretty decent.
They're not as bad as, like, for something that folds flat, you just drop in your Land Rover.
Yeah.
And just, when you know, you don't want to get a camping chair. It takes up a fair amount of room.
How much for these?
I don't know, about £7 or £8 each or something. Yeah. They're not that expensive. And no, you can just drop them behind the I think they're probably even small enough to fit just in the map pocket in behind the seats. They might just be smaller for that, but I wouldn't like to warranty that. But
decent bit of kit, though.
They're a lot more comfortable than just sitting on the ground, aren't they?
And they're waterproof as well, which is probably going to be good in a few moments' time. If it gets really bad, we'll have to retire and go and sit in the Freelander to finish the podcast. But yeah, at the moment, I think we're safe.
That's it. So, yeah, you know, tomorrow's it's meant to be sort of sunshine and showers. You'll be able to see this in a couple of months. We don't know which issue it's going to go into, do
no,
we?
No, 100%.
No. So, but you'll be able to see in the when the pitch come out whether it's a washout or whether it's it worked out okay.
If you can barely see the cars, and you can assume that it's been a bit wet, but if you know they're resplendent and the view across the valley there is looking stunning, then you can rest assured that we did have a bit of a break in the weather.
That's it. So yeah, but it ultimately it's all about just getting out there and having fun. You know, the green lanes are there, especially in the summer. Most of them are firm, because or most green lanes, especially now after the spring we've had and early summer we've had, it's been dry. You can drive them, you know, without worrying about, you know, it's the old thing. Take nothing but photographs, leave nothing but footprints or wheel tracks. Even the wheel tracks, you're just trying to avoid leaving too much. Don't leave ruts.
Yeah, I've ranted about this subject on the podcast before, many episodes ago, but it's not worth the YouTube footage or the Instagram photo to trash lanes, because before you know it, they'll just get closed. And if you're laning irresponsibly, we're not going to dwell on this because it's negative and moany, but you are to blame if you're digging them up, going off piste, making a mess. There's an element of some people just aren't, they don't read up, they're not educated enough on the etiquette when it comes to laning, and that's kind of excusable once, but you should learn when you mess up and avoid, you know, if you want to go off-road, like Neil says, just book a day at a pay and pay. You'll have a lot more fun.
Absolutely, because you won't have, you know, you won't have people who, oh, you know, sometimes we get called the fun police because we say to people, like, just can't back off a little bit. And at a pay and play site, absolutely, you know, stick within the rules, but most of them say, if you want to go and drive into that big bog and don't try and get stuck, absolutely fill your boots, but on a green lane, it's a definite ban.
Yeah, definitely. But moving on to more positive things, say, let's say, for instance, you haven't been green laning. Say you've just bought a Land Rover, you've done the local meetups, you've, you know, added a couple of accessories or whatever, but you haven't actually taken that leap to go green laning yet. What would you recommend people take on, you know, just a standard day out green laning?
Well, the first thing you've got to do is obviously look at the maps and stuff like that. The Ordnance Survey 1 to 50,000 Land Ranger ones are, you know, they're the best in terms of coverage. You can get a subscription to the Ordnance Survey to view the maps. Oh, I don't know how much it is, 25, 30 quid a year. I use Memory Map, which is you buy the maps for, get the whole of the UK for about 70 or 80 quid. I can't remember, it's been a few years since I bought it now. And I sort of renew every sort of 3 or 4 years just to make sure the maps are up to date. So on there, you're looking for the byways open to all traffic, and also the other routes with public access, something like that. But those are the ones which generally have vehicular access. Not all of them do, like some will be closed and stuff like that. And for things like that, you really want to join the Green Lane Association and use Trailwise 2 All Terrain UK and use their Smart Trail, because on there it's a sort of database, it's a map of the UK, and then you can click on the lanes and you can find out whether it's open, whether it's shut. Some of the ones around here, for instance, there's a couple of which I was looking at, and they're both flagged up saying they're too narrow for 4x4s, so we know instantly not to bother driving down there and finding out halfway along that they're not going to be drivable. We can then say, okay, we'll skip that one. We'll leave that for the trail riders. The Trail Riders Fellowship have a fantastic database as well, and they can have those ones. And then the other ones, you know, we can use safely in the 4x4s. Some of the other ones, they might not be narrow. There might be another reason. There's a traffic regulation order on which you can't drive it. But as a rule, there are many, many, many green lanes all around the country. So England and Wales, Scotland's slightly different. There are a few green lanes in Scotland, but they're not generally shown. But in England and Wales, there are quite a few green lanes. And you know, the ones closest to me, I do use fairly frequently.
I was going to say, you mentioned what's open and what isn't. It's probably important to mention at this time that lanes with voluntary restraints on them, do heed those warnings, that don't drive them unless you really have to get back from somewhere.
Yeah, the voluntary restraint, yes, it is voluntary, but there is a reason for it. Salisbury Plain, there are quite a few voluntary restraints on it, or overwinter ones.
Which is normally displayed by a sign, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, and it says and explains why. There's normally a good reason for it, and if you ignore them, then the county council will say, well, we're going to have to put a traffic regulation order on this, which then prevents vehicles from being used. I mean, there's I'm trying to think where there are voluntary restraints. There are quite a few around. There's a voluntary restraint on some of the ones in Thetford Forest. And now the council, because people they did drive them, so they ignored the voluntary restraint. The council have put TROs on, which last till 2027 now, I think.
In my mind, rightly so, because if you saw photos of what had happened in Thetford Forest, you couldn't walk down them. They were absolutely destroyed, and that's through people overusing them and using them when the conditions weren't right.
Yeah, and you know, again, it sounds like us being the fun police, but like, you know, if you want to go and play in the mud, absolutely go to a pay and play site. know, it's 25, 30 quid. Yeah. There are loads around the country. And, you know, I like winching. I like recovery and stuff like that. And so I will just drive into mud and I will get stuck and then I'll try and recover myself and all sorts of things like that. But at an off-road site, I wouldn't even, you know, consider doing that on the green lane. And the thing is, if you're on an off-road site and, you know, it's within their rules and stuff like that, you can get all the Instagram footage you want without worrying about somebody coming along and shouting at you.
You can hashtag send it all over the place.
Yeah, and nobody would care because, like, it's
private land and you can do what you like.
That's it, you know, it's all, you know, part of fun. The green lanes is really... You've just got to think about green lanes just being fantastic places to enjoy the scenery. I mean, I would typically, if I'm anywhere new, I'll look on the maps because I was, you know, with the memory map, it's on my phone. So I've got the whole of the UK on my phone at 1 to 25 and 1 to 50,000. So I can have a look at where all the green lanes are. And if there's one nearby, I'll have a quick look at that and see what it's like. And just detour. So I used to do it, like many people, going to on holiday to Cornwall, and on the way back from Cornwall, just to the west of Stonehenge, there was a green lane which went past the old, I can't remember what it was, Yarnbury Castle, I think it was, on the A303. And I'd just, rather than sitting in traffic past Stonehenge, I'd nip off there, go across the green lanes in the middle of summer, they're bone dry, you know, dust everywhere, and then just cut across Salisbury Plain to get home. And it's the break from the norm. But I obviously, if you're travelling home from holiday, you don't want to be getting stuck and stuff like that. So it's all about the, and it's about the scenery. It's about, like, just slowing yourself down, enjoying the scenery, and just being out there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I agree with that. I was going to say, it's a bit of we've obviously done some fairly long distance journeys in our time together on the mags. Neil will randomly say, do you fancy doing a green lane when you're driving down an A road or something? And there's one up here on the left, and you'll indicate, and off you go, do a little trundle, and then you rejoin. And it really doesn't add much time, but it just helps break the journey up, and you feel so much better for it.
Yeah, that's it. On the A1s going south, there's one, I think it's Barnaby Moor, and it's almost right on the junction of the A1, and sometimes I'll just going down there, I'll be travelling back from Scotland or something like that, and I just need a break. So we'll have stopped an hour or so before for a coffee or something like that, and then just nip off there. It's Sandy Lane, that particular one is, and just slow the speed down from, you know, sitting there for 65 mile an hour, 60 mile an hour with the trucks and stuff like that. And you slow yourself down, you know, bumble along for 25 minutes, and then you get back up to speed when you join the A1 again, and you just get home. And it's such a nice break. So it's all part of fun.
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specialises in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
So let's talk about, we've talked about maps. What should you chuck in the boot if you're going to go off for a day's green laning, just as a hypothetical situation?
Me, I carry nothing.
You're not, fair enough.
Well,
you shouldn't be getting stuck, obviously. We've touched on that, but there is no harm in being prepared.
No, it's, I carry a portable winch with me, a manual portable winch. I do have, you know, several different bits. Now, both of my main Land Rovers now have winch on the front, which... talk to most people, even at LRM Live, we were doing some winching displays, and none of the three of us, which was myself, Steve Purvis and Simon Fisher, none of us can remember having used an electric winch on a green lane.
No.
Because, you just don't get into that position. I've used hand... I used one to move a tree out of the way, which had fallen down the way, so we used it to haul that out. And we also used one in the snow once, when we got stuck in a snowdrift. So that's, but the rest of the time, it's, there's no reason why you should be using one. But just in case, it's a turfer-like thing. It's not a turfer.
Like a hand, hand-powered cable winch.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, so rope hoist, I think they call them.
But rope hoist.
Yeah, which will pull, or it'll lift 1.6 tonnes, and it's good for getting Land Rovers out. Add a couple of pulleys, and you can move pretty much anything with one of those. It's hard work, though. So, again, the view is...
Avoid getting stuck in the
first place. Yeah, because otherwise you're going to have to use a lot of energy to get yourself out. So, you know, it's more of a case of reading the road. So, like, rather than carrying stuff with you, learn what your Land Rover could do. Learn how to read the road ahead of you. And because if you look at it and it's all rutted and stuff like that, you think, well, is it really right to be driving it? Are you going to get bellied out?
I recall one time... years ago I had to use a winch on a Green Lane trip, and that was because it had rained weeks previously. The lane started off dry, but it was very narrow, and we did get to a section where it was deeply rutted. I was in my Discovery with standard height all-terrain tires. My friend in the Defender went through first, he was fine, but I just sat on my diffs and I couldn't straddle the ruts because there wasn't room either side, and I did have to winch forward at that point. And once I was clear, I was fine. But that's another thing to touch on, really, is it pays to be prepared if you go out by yourself. It's generally advised, if you can, to go with someone else.
That's it, yeah. It makes much more sense because, A, if you're a bit iffy with, you know, you look at something and think, oh, should I do that or not? Chances are, if there's somebody else with you, you get a better view between the two of you. And sometimes you might go, actually, yeah, it's worth it. It's like a river crossing. You know, those are probably the most dangerous things we encounter on Green Lanes, and there have been a number of deaths, and a surprising number of people die each year in Fords, just not on Green Lanes, which is, you know, and or get washed away, and it's really, really sad. And all of it can be avoided just by looking at it and thinking, do I need to drive through that? Yes or no? And chances are, no, there is always another way around. So you just... even if you're just out in, you know, being heavy rain, just look at the depth of it. I mean, I had to recover my son's, he was driving his Skoda, and he was, after the heavy rain, he drove for a Ford, which was too deep. And he got nearly out of it before the engine said, nah. So I had to go down and recover that. But it's, you know, going up with somebody else, that they will have a better idea, or between the two of you, you can assess it better rather than, you know, making a decision, which might be the wrong one. If anything, it's always better to err on the side of caution and just back out. That's what I always do. I take the view that most of the Green Lane I do or has been done is for magazine stuff. Therefore, if it's not suitable for me to include in a magazine, I don't drive it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no point. There's no value in it for me. If it's going to damage the lane, then I don't want to be people going, well, you were the one who damaged that lane, because... yeah, you know, there's no value. I just back out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we obviously have to be very, very careful what we show as being suitable in publications, because people, we know for a fact, people go out and try them because that's the whole reason you put them in the mag. But if we attract loads of people to lanes that are on the edge of being not suitable for driving, that's going to cause big problems.
Yeah, and the locals really, really object to it. You know, if that most people I know, especially in this area, they know what a green lane is. They know they expect to see Land Rovers out there. Same with a place like Salisbury Plain, North Wales. They know, you know, they expect it. Obviously, if you're somewhere where you shouldn't be, they don't like that. But if you're where you should be on a green lane, you know, which is legal, which is open, most people have no problems. It's weirdly, it's people from outside who have more of a problem.
Yeah. Again, yeah, it's important. It's just be sensible, basically.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to be sensible, go to a phone plate.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you can, at a pay and play, you can really learn what your vehicle can do and, you know, have lots of fun there. So it's, you know, but in terms of, you know, what to carry with you, what will we put in today? I mean, I'm hoping Steve's got a full suite of recovery. No. but basically, I've put a tow rope in and some shackles.
Yeah.
That's what...
not vital, but I'm on something slightly more aggressive than a road tire.
Yeah.
You should be able to drive any green lane on an all-terrain. If you need a mud or an extreme, then you shouldn't be there.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it's absolutely. All terrain is what you should be using, because that, you know, it means that you're not going to be putting yourself into a position where it's going to be too wet or too muddy.
Yeah, people will argue. oh, mud terrains are better because you're less likely to spin a mud terrain than an all terrain on a green lane. But
yeah,
if you're on riding that edge, if you're riding that, do you know what I mean? It's kind of it's too soft anyway.
Yeah, because if you can start spinning tires, it's too soft. You know, it's that a good driver. I always say, if you're going to drive a green lane, it should be capable of being driven by a competent driver in a suitable vehicle. And a suitable vehicle is something with four-wheel drive or a Citroen 2CV, which is the best green lane I've ever driven. Can I say Jaguar then? Because Steve does.
Oh, yeah, Steve loves talking about Jaguars.
Yeah. So a competent driver in a suitable vehicle. So, and a suitable vehicle is a Land Rover on all terrains. So,
yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, I mentioned Strata Florida briefly.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the most popular / famous lanes in the country.
Yes.
It's fair to say, in the UK.
Yes.
For good reason, because it's flicking brilliant.
Yes.
Say you wanted to pack up and go and do that. Apart from the usual stuff like plenty of money for fuel if you're coming from far away.
Yeah.
Because it's a fair trek from us, isn't it?
It is, yes. But not if you're in Wales. In mid-Wales, it's not that far at all.
No, very true. Think you mentioned water levels and river crossings. That's kind of one that's you really do need to sort of plan around.
Yeah, yeah.
Too much rainfall, because it does get quite layery.
It does. Yeah, it's one of those ones where it can get very deep. And as I mentioned earlier, there was a death on there a few years back, unfortunately. And it is a case of it's a fantastic lane. I mean, weirdly, I was looking through the. I was looking through a back issue of Motorsport magazine last year or early this year at some point, and they used Strata Florida on the second Welsh Hill Rally, or the Senior Service Hill Rally. They used it on there, so it was one of the stages on that. But it basically crosses the river 7 or 8 times.
Yeah, is it more than that? Yeah, it crisscrosses over, doesn't it?
Yeah, and so if it has been raining, and it might not be necessarily be rainy where you are, but rainy up in the hills,
yeah,
the water comes down and like
dense, yeah.
Yeah, you need to really be conscious and aware of what the weather's doing, not only where you are but up the hill. Talking to Andrew from Cladyhinder Farm.
Yeah, that's a great place to stay, by the way. Going laning in Wales.
It's brilliant. He said that sometimes it can rise and fall by 6 foot, or well, maybe not 6 foot, but by feet in a matter of hours.
Yeah.
And it can be impassable. And he's had to go out there and recover or rescue people who've had to walk away, leave their vehicles and walk away, and rescue them to, take them to safety and then bring them back when the water levels have dropped. And, it's a case, if you do look at it and you're out there and you think, actually, the water level's getting too high, just get to the higher ground and wait it out, because it will drop.
It's important as well to remember that although you might think a bit of a lift, some decent tires and a raised air intake or a snorkel, you'll be fine for water. What that doesn't safeguard you against is current and river flow, because as soon as that takes you, it's underneath the vehicle, it doesn't matter how much kit you've got, you're not going to have any grip. You're going to be flushed down the way. Yeah. I remember years, it must be 15 plus years ago now, a member of a club that I was in had to be rescued from his 90 that got sent down the river. I think that was on Strata Florida.
Yeah.
You've just got to be really on the ball when it comes to that sort of thing.
That's it. So, if you're not at all sure, I mean, it's part of the gut feeling. You look at it, sometimes you think, oh, should I be doing this? And chances are, if you think, should I be doing it? Don't. Like, just go another day. It's going to be there another day.
We sound like, we're possibly putting a negative spin on green lane, but it is all about being a bit prepared, just having a decent level head on your shoulders, enjoying it, obviously.
As I mentioned earlier, I go green laning as much as I can. I will take completely unsuitable vehicles along green lanes. Provided I think, it's the green lane will take it, I will be out there and I'll be driving it. On the way here, we're at a campsite, and I said to Martin, should we go use the green lane to get to the campsite? And it turns out that there's signs saying road ahead closed, so we actually, again, we backed out, we didn't drive it.
There's like landslides or something.
Yeah, something like that. But we've sort of turned around. But you know, on the way home tomorrow, I think by the time we've been driving for the day, we'll be on the A1 South, and we probably will do that extra green lane on the way home, yeah, halfway, just to break it up, just slow things down. But honestly, it's such good fun. If you've got a Land Rover, look at it on the maps. Look at, you know, use a resource available to you, Trailwise, and Smart Trail, and you can get. I mean, I just love it. I don't walk as far as I should do, so I don't go walking. But it's the equivalent of walking in your Land Rover.
Yeah, definitely. And also, it's important if you've got young kids that might not necessarily want to walk, you know, do hikes, things like that, or, you know, you've got less able-bodied people in your family or people that you know, green laning is an absolutely fantastic way of getting them out in the countryside where they probably wouldn't otherwise go.
Yeah, that's definitely it. And, you know, you get to see some of the places that those with fully abled and fully, you know, fit people can get. I mean, they can, you know, people who are able to walk and walk distances can get some fantastic scenery that we can, you know, can only dream of getting Land Rovers to, but we can enjoy that, what, 5% little bit of it. So, you know, like Martin said at the beginning of this, getting away, spending a couple of days outside camping, just, you know, being away from all, it's lovely.
I find it, it's a real, you just feel like different when you get home. It's a bit of a reset. You're away from, you know, sure, I mean, we're recording a podcast, we're using technology, but you don't look at your phone much. You're just taking it all in. You're enjoying the fresh air. You're enjoying, you know, a bit of good food and a couple of beers, and you just, like, just gets you away from technology for a bit.
That's it, yeah. And, you know, we walked into the what is it, Market Town Village? Market, I don't know.
It's a market town.
Right, so walked in there. We you know, went to the local pub, bought dinner there. So we've put some money into local economy. Admittedly, not a huge amount. God, the meal were huge for what you got. But
we were planning to have a meal and a pudding. But let me tell you, after the main course there was and two pints, there was no room left at the inn, was there?
No, it was quite absolutely, you know, I can eat and I'm stuffed.
We're not going to go to bed hungry, I
suppose.
I'm going to put you on the spot then. Top three sustainable places to go green laning in the UK.
It's difficult because I thought you were going to say what my top areas, and I'd definitely say Salisbury Plain.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Fantastic.
Salisbury Plain, yeah. Some of that, though, as I mentioned, has got voluntary restraints on it over winter. During the summer, it's fine. I understand there's been a lot of regrading of some of the green lanes, which have been cut up. I've spoken to, like, the people down there, the land managers, and they've had lots of problems with people driving away from the track or the main route, so off piste, and it just spreads and spreads and spreads. So they're trying to make these sustainable. They want us to be there, and that, you know, but they don't want us to trash the area because obviously it's a military training place, facility. That's the main focus of the area, is to make military training, but they know that there should be civilians there. Second place, probably up here in North Yorkshire.
Okay.
Because there are loads and loads of the lanes are really quite sustainable up here. You know, we've used them year round, and again, we can drive them without anybody knowing that we've been here. You know, there might be a little bit of a the odd tire mark every so often, but it's not mud because they are rock.
And rock, to be fair, is an interesting drive because it moves around beneath you. It's can be slippery when it's wet, but you're not, like, going to totally rearrange the landscape by driving on it when it is damp.
Yeah.
In fact, that reminds me of a green laning trip we did when we were both on LRO. We did coast to coast, didn't we? And we did some of the lanes that we're going to be driving tomorrow. That was great. That was mostly hard-based stuff, and it was a really enjoyable. Did we do it all in a day, or did we have a break halfway through?
I can't remember. I can narrow it down to it being in the past.
It was definitely in the past.
And wasn't that where we had the Discovery 2, which didn't you find on one of the hills or one of the corners that it didn't have traction control?
What were you in? Were you in the 110, the grey 110?
I can't remember.
Because I was driving that Discovery 2.
Yeah.
Which we bought for a feature, hadn't we? We bought it for Go Faster in a Day, which was awesome. That we went to Brunningthorpe and basically added upgrades to make it quicker and quicker and timed it over a quarter mile, I think it was. Yeah. Anyway, after we were done with it for that, we put slightly bigger mud tires on and some rock sliders. We did it up at one of the LRO shows, didn't it?
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah.
And we turned it into a bit of a green laner, and I was really chuffed with it. I thought it looked great. But like you say, there's a sort of hairpin bend followed by quite a steep climb up some rocky bits. And it was then I realised that the reason the ABS lights didn't come on when you turned the ignition on is because someone had put tape over the warning lights. So it didn't have any traction control, didn't have a centre diff lock. So it literally pointed its nose at the sky and then spun the front wheels. It was not a good time for me. Very embarrassing, in fact.
It was a one-wheel drive, wasn't it, that, at that point? And the one wheel wasn't contacting the ground.
Indeed. But once I knew that, I was able to kind of drive with that in mind. And it did keep up. It was okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, worth knowing if all your systems are operational before you go and tap the light.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, and the same with any sort of any vehicle. Just make sure it's serviced. You know, the driving up and down on tarmac roads is, you know, any car can do that. But as soon as you start to climb hills you know, it might be low range first. Obviously, your Freelander 2 is an automatic, so it will be probably in the lowest gear.
Yeah.
The engine's going to be working hard. There's not going to be much airflow going through it, so you've got electric fans that will be dragging the air through. But everything's going to be getting slightly warmer.
Yeah.
And if your vehicle is not maintained, you will find if there's a problem. So, absolutely, you know, arguably more important than carrying anything with you is to service your car first. But the two things: make sure you've got a well-maintained vehicle, and secondly, know what you're doing. So, you know, we keep talking about going to pay and play site. Learn what your vehicle can do at a pay and play site first, or get professional training.
Yeah.
Professional training is brilliant. Or, you know, trial, go to trials, you'll find your local club and trial. And professional training is great because it'll tell you everything you need to do. So many things on social media I see, how do I do this? How do I do that? So a lot of it's in the manual, but most you'll find by being taught it or by practicing it. You know.
I was going to say, if you've got a newer Land Rover, like a current model, and you want to do some green laning, because it will do it, they'll all do it. Everything from Evoque all the way up to New Defender. If you bought it new, you'll have a half-day off-road experience chucked in. Take advantage of it.
Or even absolutely.
Go along to a Land Rover Experience Centre and talk to the people there and get a half-day of tuition. It will teach you so much.
Yeah, and you might be amazed at what it can do. And the other thing is, it's their vehicle normally. So yeah, you won't be worried about damaging yours. So, which, again, you shouldn't do on a green lane. You shouldn't damage your vehicle.
You'll pick up little marks and scratches potentially if you're doing tight stuff, but yeah, generally speaking, you know, you shouldn't be smashing it off rocks and burying it in mud.
No, if you are, you're doing it wrong. You know, you're saying about the newer vehicles. Some of the gateways on green lanes are quite narrow, so that's probably the only times. I think we were at Breast High Road last year maybe, and we came down of one of those, and I think Discovery 5 has got through it, but it is quite tight. In fact, I know Russ was in his Disco 2, wasn't he? Did he have a Disco 2 at that point, Russell Dykes?
I don't remember.
Oh, I don't know.
But New Defender is certainly too wide for some gateways in the lakes, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And some of the roads technically, because there's a 2 metre width restriction. Yes, it's different conversation that is.
Yeah, it's no lightweight, is it?
No, not the 1500, 1.5 metres. It's about, I think it's 1524.
I don't know, they're pretty skinny though.
Yes, yeah, so same as the Series 1, I think. I think lightweight's same with Series 1.
I bet Series 1 would be awesome for laning.
Oh, it is. I used to take one out, so yeah.
If you own a Land Rover, Range Rover or Jaguar and have had trouble with your diesel particulate filter, the DPF, then listen carefully. Lee Day, a major UK law firm, is leading a group claim against Jaguar Land Rover for allegedly faulty DPF systems in diesel models made between 2015 and 2023. They already represent nearly 20,000 Land Rover, Range Rover and Jaguar drivers in a no-win, no-fee compensation claim. To see if your Land Rover qualifies for the claim, visit leedaylaw.info/JLRDPF today.
All right, so moving on, we've talked a bit about green laning. Is there anything else you want to add, actually, before we move?
I was just going to take a sip of beer. I can't believe you...
Sorry, I'm interrupting you. While you drink your beer, I'll get on to feature of the week.
Okay.
Which is in the July issue of the magazine, which is on sale right this very minute. So please do rush out and buy it. And it is a preview for the Billing Off Road Show.
It's an awesome show.
I was going to say, you know, we've just talked about doing pay and plays. Why not go along to Billing? They've got two different off-road courses open, one on the Friday, one on the Saturday and Sunday. A great mix of terrain. You can try your Land Rover around there. There's marshals on site to help you out if you need it. Yeah, really can't recommend it highly enough. And if you don't want to take your own Land Rover around there, get an ice cream, sit by the riverbank and watch everyone else go around.
That's it.
Equally as good.
And with the off-road courses, if they are the major obstacles, there are always drive-arounds. So you'll see a lot of people like coming out with the mud and water over the bonnets. You don't have to go through it. So if you've got a newer vehicle, you can just enjoy most of it and then let the people who are willing to push their vehicles that little bit harder go through that one. And yeah, back in the day, you used to see... After the Billing show, you see them broken down on the side of the road where they're overheating because they've clogged the radiator up on the mud run or something like that. But honestly, it's such fun to drive the mud run.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a massive viewing area next to it as well. So like Neil says, if you don't want to take yours through and fill it up with mud, lots of other people will. So you can get a real good vantage point and see, take bets on how far through they're going to get. So yeah, we've got a full 3 pages on the Billing Off Road Show, which is on between the 27th and the 30th of June this year. So not long to go. Get your tickets booked. Camping is sold out, but you can still get day passes, and I think you might be able to book camping at nearby campsites, or if you want to stay in a cabin, the Aquadrome still has space. So it's one of those events where really you want to be there for the whole weekend, because a Saturday night you've got incredible entertainment in the beer tent. They have a charity auction which always has amazing lots. It's really worth staying over. So yeah, to get a bit better of an idea of what you can expect from that, grab a copy of the July issue, check it out. Yeah, we Steve and I will be on show and tell stage both days from 1 o'clock, Saturday and Sunday, having a look around lots of interesting vehicles and chatting to the owners, getting a bit more information. It's always popular. People grab a bit of lunch and stand by the railings. And when we're not doing that, the Challenge Southwest guys will be caning it around the hillside and doing passenger rides for charity. So it's always for a good cause.
That's it. And you, on the way out, on the drive up, you're saying that because obviously the Billing show, it's an off-road show rather than a Land Rover show, you get some of the weirder vehicles. So was it Haflinger you were saying?
Yeah, last year Haflinger, which is like a bathtub with four-wheel drive. Yeah, they're really cool.
And so, like, you know, if you think, oh right, I know everything about Land Rovers, go along, you'll find something out about other brands. And some, you know, the other thing we talked about on the way out, because we saw a Unimog, and you know, we talk about the really, really narrow ones, those from 1950s.
Yeah, the like forestry ones.
Yeah, and which are absolutely tiny. And then obviously you've got the new ones. And if somebody wants to bring one of those along for the show and tell, Martin and Steve will gladly talk about it.
Oh, definitely. We'll have a poke around that. We do get a good... There is obviously, because we're in the UK, probably the majority of vehicles there are Land Rovers, but we've looked and kid the tires and all sorts. We've had Jeep Wrangler, we've had like you say the Haflinger, what else have we had? We've had all sorts of random stuff. I think we had like a modified Kia Sorento one year, some really off the wall vehicles. But yeah, obviously if you want to bring yours up for show and tell, all you need to do is come to the LRM gazebo, ask to speak to one of us, or you can email me editorial@lrm.co.uk. just say I'm up for it, here's my phone number, we'll get in touch with you on the day. We'll show you where to go, 1 o'clock, and then we'll have a good old chat on the show and tell stage.
Excellent. So it's like a magazine article but live.
It is like Readers Rovers Live.
Yeah,
but all Land Rovers.
Yeah.
But check it out. Chances are, if you're listening to this, you probably do have a Land Rover, but
but at least, you know,
welcome.
Yeah, have something different. Like the Haflinger is just such a bizarre thing. I used to remember, you know, going to the trials where people would trial those, and you'd think on those such tiny little wheels they wouldn't get anywhere, but they were like mountain goats.
Yeah, they're a really, like you say, quite an odd machine, but you can see why they're so capable, because they weigh nothing and they're just like loads of clearance, smooth underside.
And locking diffs.
Locking diffs, yeah. Front and rear, yeah, quite the machine. But so again, check out the preview for Billing Off Road Show. We'll see you there. Moving swiftly into product of the week, I'm going to choose Stitch and Rivet's tool roll, which does look very good.
Yeah.
What I have found about taking tools out in Land Rovers, especially series, is stopping them from rattling is a challenge. I tend to chuck mine in one of the rear lockers in the tub, and every time we go over a bump, they clanging around.
Yeah, and the rear lockers are quite a long way on the series of 109, aren't they?
They really are, but believe me, you can still hear them.
Yeah.
For £45, you can get a very, very smart tool roll from Stitch and Rivet, made out of classic 600D material, which is water repellent and durable. You've got two brass eyelets, so you can hang it up when you're at home. And then you've got loads and loads of different spaces and slots and things like that for all your spanners and all your bits and pieces that you want to take with you, perhaps even when you go green laning for that extra bit of peace of mind.
Yeah, and the good thing is, because it's got like little pockets for these spanners, you can see at a glance if, which we'll be out seeing, you can see if something's missing, you know, if you've got everything in there. And you know, you can just carry what you need for the vehicle. And it, like Martin says, it stops it from rattling around. And you, on a series Land Rover, you can put it behind the front seats where your jack handle and your starting handle sit.
Indeed, you could. Not only that, because it's Stitch and Rivet, you can also have them customised if you wanted to. So you make a perfect present.
Excellent.
What's not to like?
Mm.
Good stuff. So what have we done? We've touched on green laning. We've done product of the week. We've done feature of the week. Anything else to add, Neil, before we have another couple of drinks and then probably head off before a day of driving tomorrow?
I can't remember. Apart from the fact, I was going to say, just like last time when I've been out doing a recce on the military training area, that's exactly what I've been doing this week as well.
You've been a busy boy, haven't you?
I have.
You've literally been up the north, come down, home, and then back up the north again.
Dropping off another vehicle. You know, I had to prep my son's lightweight ready for him to compete in. Again, this is one of the British Army Motorsport Association events, and I just wanted to make sure his one was, you know, in fine fettle, because it inevitably would be me having to fix it or to tow it home if he breaks it. So I was up in Defence School Transport at Leconfield, where we're going to be running Roadmaster next weekend. So not sure when this is going out.
The Wednesday after, probably. No. There'll still be time.
So if you're in the Leconfield, East Riding of Yorkshire area and you fancy coming along, you can drop Martin an email at...
editorial@lrm.co.uk.
And he can pass it on to me.
I'll swiftly fire it over to Neil.
So we're driving all of the training area there. It's a navigation thing like we did before. And, talk about feature of the week. I did talk about Saks Express, which was a Bovington in this issue. And the fact that's in the July issue as well, I believe.
Let me check.
Yeah.
I'm
fairly sure it's in... Yes, it is in there. Part of that, I found there was a study which showed that taxi drivers and ambulance drivers there's been a study which shows that those people have a sort of slightly lower risk of Alzheimer's because
due to the brain.
Yes, it's something to do with the brain, which is, you know, I don't understand, but it's so basically if you're into navigation, which takes us back to green laning, it could be beneficial for your life. So if you're planning routes and you're driving along and you're navigating, you're finding your way from place to place, it might actually be beneficial for your health.
Well, what, as if you needed another reason to get involved, absolutely, you know, that makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
Like you say, actually, yeah. Page 80 in the Land Rover Life section of Land Rover Monthly, you can read about Neil's misadventures at the last Barber Elect he did.
Yeah, which was, yeah, so Bovington, and the next one's at Leconfield, which...
is the one where we competed in the old Discovery 3 and we punctured a rear tyre,
yeah.
Had to put the space saver on and then drive home at 50 miles an hour.
That's it, yeah.
Which, years ago now.
Yeah, that was an ideal journey home, and it looked very, very weird, because I think the others were 255s and the space saver...
wider than that. I think they were... 265, 65,
possibly, and then the space saver was about like an inch wide.
Yeah, wasn't it?
It's like running a train wheel.
Yeah, it was not a good look, and it was a very, very slow journey home.
Yeah.
Away from, you know, the south up to where we live in the middle of, well, in the southeast,
East Anglia. Yeah, so it's honestly the navigation events, not only, as I said in the magazine, could it potentially help you, your health and stuff like that? It's great for so many things. I mean, one of my other jobs I do is I'm a delivery driver, believe it or not. I don't know who would employ me to deliver stuff, but doing competitive events, when I've been in the past I've competed in road rallies and stuff like that as a navigator, mainly with Phil Griffiths and stuff like that. But we, one of the things he said, oh yeah, you just, when you're driving along, you if you want to, you're not going on the left, you're not going on the right, you say, miss left, miss right, next left. So you know, you're counting down. And when you're a delivery driver, you look at that, you're saying, where are we going? Okay, I can see where the dot is in the distance. I've got going to miss two lefts, miss a right, then miss a left, and then it's going to be there. And it's absolutely the same. You know, you're driving along, you're reading the road, you're watching what's going around, you're reading the maps, and you're listening to what's being said by the GPS, and competing off-road motorsport, and also from green laning, you just everything, all of this comes in, and it. For me, you know, with my deliveries, it's really helped me. It honestly has.
So what you're saying is, if you do delivery driving for a living, you're essentially a rally driver.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Good shout. So and vice versa. Maybe if you're if you've competed in one off-road motorsport or even like World Rally Championship, then you are tomorrow's delivery driver.
Exactly. Yeah.
The skills, they are transferable.
Definitely, you can swap them from one to the other.
Worth knowing. Well, the clouds aren't getting any friendlier looking, are they? So I think it might soon be time to retire.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm rather enjoying sat on a Yorkshire hillside. If only I could. If only we'd recorded this, like we keep threatening to do, with a video camera as well as podcast equipment.
You know, I've got in the back of the car, I've got the back of the Freelander, I have got a full camera gear with video gear. We could have just set it up.
We could have done it.
But like, I'm not going to time travel back and do that.
No.
Because I can't time travel.
Again, because it's getting on, I'm getting chilly.
Yeah.
But no, as always, don't forget to follow us on all of the social medias. Please do subscribe to the LRM YouTube channel. Buy the magazine. Subscribe if you want to get it cheaper. And if you want to get it delivered to your door, because why wouldn't you? Follow me on Instagram, Land Rover Martin. Follow Neil on Instagram.
Land Rover Warty.
Yeah, or one word.
Yes, I believe so.
Follow Steve, even though he's not here. Steve Miller Automotive. And yeah, don't forget, send your questions over, editorial@lrm.co.uk. We love to get them. We've got some crackers lined up, actually, that I'll probably wait to save because Steve will want to be involved in them. And yeah, thanks for listening. Leave us a little rating if you want. Leave us a little review on your preferred streaming platform. That's all the marketing and selling nonsense out the way, I think. Nothing left to say, really, apart from thanks ever so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Excellent. Bye.